So my good friend Sonny, friend of the show, got to hang out and meet Joel Hodgson of Mystery Science Theater 3000
fame. Welcome to
they were
Cinema
doing a
Chalk
live
Shop.
Show up in Pennsylvania.
Watch, shop,
and
retrofit.
Just through some connections, he was able to hang out backstage with them. Got invited to go out and have beers with he and the crew. And then got invited back to hang out with the shooter.
Now, when you said that, I was picturing John Hodgman, the PC from the Mac versus PC versions. But this is not a Justin Long podcast. Welcome to season 5, episode 17 of Cinema Chop Shop. This is a movie podcast that concedes that remakes are going to happen, so why shouldn't movie buffs
like us
decide who is recast in those iconic roles? My name is
The Travityville Horror.
Very nice. And I am joined, as always, here in the shop by my co-host and co-producer, Possession.
Of course.
A.K.A. The Shondering.
Okay, that's a good one.
In addition, we are extremely excited not to have any guests today. So this is going to be a nice cut and dry, streamlined episode.
Something possessed them to go somewhere else.
Indeed. So further description of the show, the tagline at the top says, watch, chop, retrofit, because essentially that's what we do here. We watch older movies, sometimes they're classic films with iconic actors, and then we retrofit them by tweaking the design with new parts. We're not actually in favor of remake, reboot, sequel-dependent culture. We are more into this as an exercise of satire and irony. We try to be funny.
And sometimes we succeed.
All right. So with that, we're going to go into our first segment, which is going to be movie news. And this is where we try to pay a little bit of attention throughout the week to stories related to cinema and stories that we think that our listeners would find interesting. And we are going to start it off with an RIP for RIP Taylor. Rip Taylor, flamboyant comedian, is dead at 88. And so we were discussing whether or not he was actually in any films. And
yeah, but it's worth mentioning anyway, because this is the second Rip who has passed away this year.
So he was the King of Confetti and the Prince of Pandemonium. Those aren't movies. So we'll leave that to the listeners or Dana to figure out which movies Rip Taylor was in. I feel like he was in one of those huge ensemble cast movies in the 70s, kind of like the Thunderball or the what was it called? The
Cannonball Run.
Cannonball Run, kind
he
of like that.
He wasn't in Cannonball Run, but I think it's a safe bet that maybe he was in something like that, some madcap silliness.
All right. And then we have another RIP going out to Marie-José Nat, that's N-A-T, who was a familiar face on screens in the 60s and 70s, and she was a French actress. All right. Next up, we're doing this kind of lightning round style. The new Taika Waititi movie is getting some controversy. It's called Jojo Rabbit. And the headline I've got is that Taika Waititi scoured the earth for the right actor to play Hitler before casting himself. So apparently it's a comedy about Hitler.
Well, it's a satire.
Okay.
About Hitler and our times.
Jojo Rabbit. Okay. And then Len Wiseman will direct the John Wick spinoff that's going to be called Ballerina. So I'm assuming that this has to do with Angelica Houston's character, the Russian ballet oligarch lady, because she runs a ballet school, and so I think that maybe it might be about one of those characters going off on their own, maybe getting revenge. It could be there has to be some sort of revenge in a John Wick spinoff, right?
Well, yeah, it's the very DNA of that series.
All right, and then finally, Halloween Kills, David Gordon Green and who's our guy from Vice Principals?
Oh, if you had not asked me, I could have just spit it out because I'm totally all about the Righteous Gemstones.
The Righteous Gemstones guy. anyway, their follow-up to Halloween, their Halloween reboot called Halloween Kills, appears to be returning to an iconic franchise location. And what would that be?
Oh, that's the hospital. What you call it? the Haddonfield Memorial Hospital.
And Danny McBride says hi.
Thank you.
God. I just always want to call him Kenny Powers.
Oh, yeah, me too. I mean, in my mind, he is always going to be Kenny Powers.
And so I think that's going to wrap up this week's edition of Movie News. And that brings us to our next department. As soon as we hear the phone ring... All right. Thank you. There we go. It's time for the Department of Corrections Department with Chief Corrections Officer Dana.
The first time I ever heard of H.P. Lovecraft was when a former coworker told me about him. Shout out to John. And he told me about one of his stories called The Thing on the Doorstep. I'm on my way to Rhode Island next week, but Lovecraft's final resting place is in the complete opposite direction from the airport and where I'm staying, so I'll have to wave to him from the plane. Richard Jewell stars Paul Walter Hauser, no hyphens. I think Alfred's actor's name is pronounced Michael Goff. It's Sandra Dee and Amanda Seyfried. Also, Bram Stoker was from the great non-American country of Ireland. Bram is short for Abraham, by the way. Bram Stoker died at 64, Mary Shelley died at 53, and H.P. Lovecraft popped his clogs at 46. Adios, muchachos.
All right. Thank you very much, Dana McBride. you know John, too? That's crazy.
I know John.
I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. John. John. So that will close the doors on this week's Department of Corrections Department. And that brings us to the theme of the episode. In celebration of the upcoming Halloween holiday, this is the second part of our annual October horror-themed series. And what are we talking about today, Sean?
We're talking about possession movies.
Possession movies. Now, this is kind of a broad topic, I think.
I agree.
A little bit of wiggle room here. It could be your traditional, like, demonic possession, your exorcisms, things like that. It could be that maybe somebody gets possessed by a spirit or the ghost of someone passed on, or maybe even possessed by a car, as we saw. Actually, the car itself was possessed by the spirit of its former owner. But still, what I'm getting at is that there's a little bit of leeway here.
Absolutely.
All right. And so with that, we're going to go ahead and go into our midnight double feature, and this is where we each select two films that are within the topic at hand, and we are we're talking about how they're related to each other, how they fit in the topic, and why they would be a good pairing to show back-to-back in public. Back-to-back in public is the name of my first duets album. All right, so I'll go first. We're bucking the format here. So speaking of topic at hands, I'm talking about a movie from 1999 called Stigmata. Stigmata is just what it sounds like. It's a horror film / culty religious film. And
I remember this one.
Patricia Arquette as a young woman who's an atheist who ends up developing signs of the stigmata. A young woman who is with no strong religious beliefs, named Frankie Page, played by Patricia Arquette, begins having strange and violent experiences showing signs of the wounds that Jesus received from being crucified. When the Vatican gets word of Frankie's situation, a high-ranking cardinal, played by Jonathan Pryce, requests that the Reverend Andrew Kiernan, played by Gabriel Byrne, investigate her case. Soon, Kiernan realizes that very sinister forces are at work and tries to rescue Frankie from the entity that is plaguing her.
I remember watching this and liking it a bit.
At the time?
And how does it? Did you watch it recently?
Or? I did not rewatch it. I watched it around the time that it came out. I did do a little bit of reading, and apparently they quote a scripture verse that they say was originally written in Aramaic, but it was actually in a form of Hebrew, and then they use a form of Hebrew when she's scrawling on the walls, like in blood, they say that it's supposed to be Aramaic. So there's a little bit of a flub going on there with that. But
I remember liking Gabriel Byrne's portrayal of the priest,
right,
a lot.
Yeah, I like him a lot, just in kind of in general.
Yeah, okay. Speaking of Gabriel Byrne, okay.
And then I'm pairing that with Possessed from 2000, which is a TV movie. On the whole, it's not so great. It doesn't really hold up for a 2000 made-for-TV possession movie. But it was directed by Stephen A. D'Souza, inventor of the sousaphone, and has no rating on Rotten Tomatoes. And it's about an 11-year-old boy who starts throwing temper tantrums, vomiting on and attacking people, and swearing uncontrollably. Furniture begins to move on its own when he is around, and he doesn't remember any of it. After giving up on the Protestants, the boy's parents turn to the Catholic Church for help. Father Bowden is a World War II veteran, and he's played by Christopher Plummer, who is experiencing nightmares, flashbacks, and other personal problems, including alcoholism. He's recruited by the Archbishop, who's played by Christopher Plummer. Father Bowden character is played by Timothy Dalton, one of our illustrious James Bonds. And so apparently this is the true, big quotation marks, true account of the last exorcism known to have been done by the Catholic Church.
Okay.
So that's going to be my pair of possession films.
So what's your thumbs up, thumbs down on these
guys? I'm going to go with a, even though it's only got a 22%, on Rotten Tomatoes, I'm still giving a thumbs up to Stigmata. It is a product of its time, one of the greatest years in cinema, 1999.
Yeah.
And then Possessed, I'm going thumbs down, unless you're just wanting to knock out some possession movies.
Okay.
So well, it is, you know, 9/10 of the law.
All right, so I'm going to go with some possession films that are, like you'd said, not typical of what we think of when we think of possession / exorcism type
right.
films. Number one would be 1968's Rosemary's Baby,
which we've talked about
before. We've talked about on the show, directed by Roman Polanski, Mia Farrow, John Cassavetes, Ruth Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
Movie. You've got the young lady who they move into the apartment and she... Oh, God. I mean, just it could go deep into the storyline, mm-hmm. but we know it. She basically becomes impregnated with the spawn of Satan.
Right.
But the reason it's...
And her husband really, like, throws her under the bus with this. She has right. no idea, and he volunteers her.
And the reason it's a possession film is that her husband begins to really act out of character,
mm-hmm.
and I think that he becomes possessed with not necessarily a demon spirit...
But power.
But yes, the greed, the power, the... just that need for success.
Mm-hmm.
And so that feeds into the plot of the end of her giving birth to the devil's baby. And I'm following that with 2018's Hereditary.
Oh, very good, dude.
And I've always considered this to be kind of a spiritual sibling of Rosemary's Baby because they do borrow a lot of the same elements. And this, of course...
kind of coven aspect of it.
A lot of secrecy, a lot of... acting against one's character.
Mm-hmm.
This is Ari Aster's debut feature and A24 film, and we love A24.
Indeed.
Toni Collette,
Unhinged.
Millie Shapiro, Gabriel Byrne is mm-hmm. in this, as you just mentioned him. And if you haven't seen this, see it. If you don't like it, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, it's an awesome movie. I think that we're going to be talking more about this on the Scary Movie Night minisode. Where we will be doing a roundtable discussion of some of the best scary movies of the past 10 years.
Oh, I'll include this one for sure.
Nice.
If someone else doesn't.
All right. So does that wrap us up on the Midnight Double feature?
Oh, yeah. Recommends on both of these.
Okay. Sounds good. And that will bring us to our feature segment. Listen to that music from Dr. Bob as it possesses you to dance around the room. We're talking about The Recast. This is where we select a film that is, once again, within the genre we're speaking of, and we hypothetically recast a few of the main roles with contemporary actors. Once again, more satirically than in earnest, goes to camp. The first movie that we're going to be recasting is called Abby.
Was Abby. This was Abby. A woman loved and in love until that night when something evil came looking for a soul to possess.
I can't stop thinking about your husband.
That creep. Forget him.
Was this Abby? Now the fun starts.
Grab her! Hold her! Hear me, demon. Leave this woman's body!
Abby. Rated R.
From 1974, it was directed by William Girdler, who was an American filmmaker, and he made, in just 6 years, from 1972 to 1978, he directed 9 feature films in such genres as horror and action. He also wrote and produced 3 of his features, including Abby, Sheba Baby, and Manito. This movie has no rating on Rotten Tomatoes, but it has been referred to as The Black Exorcist.
I agree with the Black Exorcist. Uh-huh. I've seen this shuffled into blaxploitation.
Right.
And I disagree with that term, other than it kind of fits the time frame and the mm-hmm. production value of blaxploitation mm-hmm. films. This is a straight up film. It's just a low budget ripoff of The Exorcist with an African American cast.
Uh-huh.
I disagree with the blaxploitation label on this one.
Gotcha.
But I do agree that it was an Exorcist ripoff.
All right. So, American horror film starring Carol Speed, William Marshall, and Terry Carter, as well as Austin Stoker and Juanita Moore. It's a possession film about a marriage counselor who becomes possessed by a demon of sexuality when her father-in-law, an exorcist, freed it while in Africa. He returns home along with his son and a policeman to perform an African exorcism on her. And they get into the Yoruba religion in this one, Yoruba. So I just mentioned their names, but the roles that we're going to recast is William Marshall is playing Bishop Garnet Williams, and he is our exorcist. And then we've got Carol Speed, just adorable. She's playing Abby Williams, the marriage counselor who gets possessed by the sex demon. And I think that's just called puberty, right? And then we've got the third role we're going to recast is Terry Carter playing Reverend Emmett Williams. And what else should we say about this, Sean?
Well, I mean, you know, the actors themselves have some roles that you would probably uh-huh. know. I mean, William Marshall was Blackula.
Uh-huh. As well as the sequel, he was in the sequel that was Scream, Blackula, Scream. He was also he was known as the King of Cartoons on the 1980s TV show Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Yes, he was.
Beginning in the second season. He also appeared as Dr. Richard Daystrom in the original Star Trek TV series. And he was 6'5" tall.
He was a big guy.
A commanding height, as well as a deep bass voice.
Carol Speed was in one of the films we talked about in the
blaxploitation movies.
Was it blaxploitation?
Yes.
I guess.
It was the Pam Grier.
Pam Grier episode. Yes, that's Pam what I was Grier. Thinking. She was in The Birdcage or The Big Bad Birdcage. Sorry. Uh-huh. Different film entirely.
And she's also in Disco Godfather, The Mac, and Black Samson. Cute, bubbly, and adorable actress Carol Speed achieved a considerable amount of cult cinema popularity with her often lively and delightful contributions to a handful of enjoyable, down-and-dirty 1970s blaxploitation features. She holds the distinction of being the first black homecoming queen in Santa Clara County and was one of the first black people to receive a scholarship for the American Conservatory Theater in San Francisco. She's playing Abby Williams.
Yep.
And then...
Where do we know Terry Carter from?
Terry Carter was Sergeant Joe Broadhurst on the 7-year TV series MacLeod and as Colonel Ty on the original Battlestar Galactica.
There you go.
All right, let's go ahead and get into the recast. First, we've got William Marshall playing Bishop Garnet Williams, and he was 50 at the time. Sean, who are you going to recast in this role?
Okay, so in thinking about Bishop Williams, he was a scholar, he was authoritarian, he was pretty mm-hmm. chill, pretty laid back, but he did have that command of power. So I wanted an actor that kind of mimicked those kind of qualities. He was 50. My actor is 61 years old.
Okay.
Was in the film Black Panther. Was in the film Olympus Has Fallen.
Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Was in the film Contact.
All right. That's the Jodie Foster one?
Yeah. Was in the film Strange Days.
Strange Days. Okay. Okay. Ralph Fiennes Millennium movie.
Yeah. It's a gender flip. It's Angela Bassett.
Oh, okay. Nice. She is still strikingly beautiful for...
Very much
what
so.
Age did you say?
61.
61.
But I think that she has that authority
oh, yeah.
and command.
Big time, dude. That would be awesome.
She could cast out some demons.
I like it. All right. Well, my recast is 48 now. I went slightly younger. I was originally going to go with Paul Mooney. Do you remember Paul Mooney, the comedian? He did some stuff on Chappelle's Show.
Yeah.
I believe the segment was called Ask a Black Guy.
Yeah.
But he's recently been embroiled in some sexual misconduct Uh-oh. Allegations. So he got bumped. I went with an American stand-up comedian, actor, film producer, writer, and rapper. He's best known for playing Day-Day Jones in Next Friday and its sequel, Friday After Next. And also, hold on, also appearing in The Hangover as Black Doug, title role in the upcoming Richard Pryor biopic. His name is Mike Epps.
Nice.
Mike Epps is going to be my reverend/exorcist.
I like Mike Epps. That's
Bishop,
good.
Bishop Exorcist. All right, so next up, we've got the role of Abby Williams, played by Carol Speed. And Sean, who do you think about for this?
I hope we didn't pick the same person.
We might have. It's okay.
She was 29. Mine's 28 years old.
Nope.
And I picked her specifically because she can be cute and beautiful,
uh-huh.
But she could also be kind of haunting and a little bit scary when she wants to be. So I think she'd be good for this demonically possessed role. Especially when you throw in the sexuality element as well. She was in Geostorm.
Okay. Speaking of throwing in the sexuality element.
She's going to be a voice in the upcoming Invincible animated series. This is a show that was a comic that was written by the same guy, Richard Kirkman, who did The Walking Dead.
Okay.
It's about a kid whose dad is essentially Superman and how he lives his life. And it's got a huge cast. You should look that up. She is going to be in the upcoming X-Force movie, which is a spinoff of the Deadpool films.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
She's in Atlanta and be seen most recently in Joker. It's Zazie Beetz.
Zazie Beetz is awesome. She's like Dwight Schrute, the way that she eat beets. So my actress is... 49 now, and I was surprised. I didn't realize that she was, I don't mean it in a bad way because I love her, but I didn't realize she was quite that seasoned. So she's an American actress, comedian, director, and talk show host. She's known for playing Andrea Marino in the first season of The Ghost Whisperer, Dr. Tara Lewis in Criminal Minds, Mother Nature in the Santa Claus films, and, of course, voicing Lana Kane on Archer, she is Aisha Tyler. Aisha Tyler, I thought, could really bring the kind of mania that would be required for this role.
She's a blast.
She's so good. She's also had reoccurring roles on CSI, Talk Soup, and even Friends. She was on Friends
really?
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, next up, we've got Terry Carter. This is the boyfriend / Reverend Emmett Williams. He was 46 at the time. And Sean, who did you pick?
I went with an actor who was 35 years old, which is a little bit closer to the 28 years old.
Yeah.
If you're going to believe that they're together. He has been in shows like Ballers.
Ballers.
He was in The Book of Eli.
Okay, I remember that. That's the Denzel Washington post-apocalyptic one, right?
Right, exactly. He was in Malcolm X.
Denzel Washington? Did
not,
you pick Denzel?
No,
Washington?
I didn't pick Denzel. No, no, he wasn't. You know, he wasn't in X. He was in Malcolm X, but he was also so good in Black Klansman. It's John David Washington.
Oh yeah, yeah. Interesting, interesting choice.
I could see him and Zazie Beetz like hooking
up.
Oh,
for sure, 100%. Okay, well, my you know, your actor is also a former professional football player.
True.
My actor is 45 now. He's an American actor and former American football wide receiver. He's in It Chapter 2. He was in Horrible Bosses. He's also in Madea's Big Happy Family. he's widely known as the main character in a series of Old Spice television commercials. The man your man could smell like, it's Amir Mustafa.
I like that.
Amir
That's
great. Mustafa is going to be my Reverend Emmett Williams.
Love
so,
it.
Recommend or not recommend, Sean?
It's not a recommend. If you've seen The Exorcist, right. You've seen this movie, and The Exorcist did it better. So there's really no reason to watch it unless you're just a completist.
Uh-huh. Or if you happen to be doing a podcast about possession movies.
Absolutely.
I'm in the same boat. I feel like you can probably pass this one over unless necessary. All right. Well, with that, we are going to go ahead and roll into intermission, but not before we say... Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby and get ourselves a crucifix and some holy water because the power of Christ compels you. All right, Chop Shoppers, thank you for bearing with us during intermission. This is your host, Travis, and I just have one question for you, Sean. What is one way we could make our podcast more prominent?
Oh, if our listeners would rate and review us on iTunes.
Rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes.
And pin your friends down and force them to do it.
Make them go ahead and do a review. We're very under reviewed.
Like make it a whole pyramid scheme. Get the people under them to do it. And multiply.
A podsy scheme.
Ooh, I like it.
Yes. You folks who are listening right now, it would be fantastic if while you're listening or right after, you don't have to stop the show. Don't stop the show. But if afterwards you could go to iTunes and give us a review or a rating, that would be awesome as well. Or on whatever podcatcher app it is that you're listening to us. We're on a few of them. And also, be aware of our online presence. We have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/cinemachopshop. We're hosted natively online on Podbean. It's Cinema Chop Shop on Podbean. And our Twitter handle is @CinemaChopShop. We do a lot of stuff on there, like our 2019 movie marathon, where Sean consistently kicks my ass. Also, our email address is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. You can email us anytime. We check it frequently. The beers that we check in after intermission, you're about to find out about some, are always checked in on Untappd. That's UNTAPPD. And we are Cinema Chop Shop on there. Once again, thank you to you, the listeners. Thank you for tuning in and enjoy the rest of the show.
And now, on with the show.
All right. Welcome back, Chop Shoppers. Thank you for bearing with us during intermission. But when we come back, what's the first order of business, Sean?
We're going to do that beer check-in.
All right. We've got an on-theme beer this week. What is it?
Totally on-theme. This is from Dewclaw Brewing in Baltimore, Maryland. It's called Mad Bishop.
The Mad Bishop. Why don't you crack that open?
It's an Oktoberfest beer.
Double perfect.
So, yes, the possessed priest in Exorcist is what inspired this. So I will pass this over to you. And so if it's an Oktoberfest, it should be a sweet, malty, not too overly sweet, but malty and easily crushable. Yeah. Yeah. You got some caramel notes in there.
For sure.
Something about it tastes a little bit off, but I
think it might be slightly warm.
Well, that's true too, but I will also chalk it up to being from Dewclaw, which I generally don't like the beer.
Wait, what do they do? Sexual chocolate?
They do Sweet Baby Jesus.
Sweet Baby Jesus, that's right. All right, while we enjoy that, we're going to do our 2019 movie marathon check-ins. And this is where Sean and I try throughout the calendar year to watch as many movies as we can. The goal being 365. However, Sean, I think you're probably, once again, going to go above and beyond. Above and be Sean. It is the 284th day of the year. It's hard to believe. It's already the 284th.
It's getting on up there, man.
Yeah, and I'm on number 272. I made some progress.
Dude,
this week.
You were knocking it out this week.
And so what's going to be the first one you'd like to talk about?
So piggybacking what you were saying about the sex cult, the sexuality demon or whatever in the Abbey, I watched the original 1942 version, but I also watched the 1982 version of Cat People.
Okay.
And I'm going to talk about 82's version because it definitely is the more erotic and sinister of the two. And speaks to the sexual nature of these people who have the spirit of the panther in mm-hmm. them. And it's got Malcolm McDowell. It's got Nastassja Kinski.
Yeah.
It's got John Hurd. It has Ed Begley Jr. It's got Annette.
Not Ed Begley Sr.
It's got Annette O'Toole. It's got John Larroquette. If you're into naked women, it's got that going for it as well.
Oh, what about a Halloween costume, Ed Begley Jr.?
Ed Begley Jr. Oh, man. Spoilers, Ed Begley Jr. dies in this movie.
No!
Yeah. But it's a cool film. Oh, and Giorgio Moroder does the music for this.
Hmm.
If you've ever listened to the Daft Punk album that came out a few years ago, there's a track where they interview Giorgio Moroder. He's one of the pioneers of electronic music.
Oh, okay.
And he did this one, and there's some really cool new wave, gothy kind of music tracks as well, pop songs that are on bookends front and end of the film. So I think the final track is Putting Out a Fire with Gasoline.
Ah.
So it's a cool song. I'm sure I'm misquoting the title.
It's counterproductive.
I know. So anyway, that's my first check-in.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with the most recent complete movie that I've seen, and that is number 272, The Death of Dick Long from 2019. And it is a country oddball comedy from Daniel Scheinert, S-H-E-I-N-E-R-T. And he's half of the directorial team behind Swiss Army Man. And this movie was equally hilarious and disturbing at the same time. I don't really know how much I can say about it without being spoilery.
Yeah, it kind of, the plot kicks in very quickly.
Well, do you want to get weird?
I do want to get weird.
So I noticed that you had some feedback or some likes on your check-in,
yeah.
right?
Well, my Twitter check-in was the peril of having one of the worst education systems in the country is that Alabama cops can't put two and two together to solve the case.
Right.
And I got a like from Michael Abbott Jr. He is Zeke in the film.
Okay, nice.
And I also got a like from the official Twitter account for The Death of Dick Long. So
that was pretty cool. I got a like from them as well, the Death of Dick Long Twitter. The thing that struck me about this movie, and it is an enjoyable movie. I gave it 4 stars, but the characters are just so dumb. Like, it's unbelievable how
they're,
dumb
they're
they
so
are.
Dumb. And at first, it's like the she wasn't the police chief, but she was like the head cop in the film. Was she blind? Like, she comes in wearing sunglasses and with a walking stick.
I saw at one point she had that walking stick too, and I wondered that.
I think it was just maybe that was, they were trying to say that.
Like a metaphor?
Yeah, these guys are stupid.
She was metaphorically blind.
The blonde cop who ends up sussing it out.
She was good.
I've seen her in several
things.
She was
on an episode of Louie that was about plus-sized women.
Yeah, she's been in a lot of stuff, and I quite liked her. And the thing I like most about her character is that she was the one that did put it together, but you could see that she had a lot of self-doubt and a lot of shyness that kept her from saying, no, I've got this figured out.
Right.
She could have ended the movie half an hour earlier had she had more confidence.
Well, you don't want a showboat.
I guess not. Well, I think it speaks to kind of a Southern culture and the way we see women in the
and
South.
I guess we should mention that it's set in Alabama.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right, what's your next check-in going to be, Sean? Right,
so I'm going to check in Annabelle Goes to Camp. I'm sorry. Annabelle Saves Christmas. No, shit. Annabelle Goes to School. No.
That's not it.
Damn it. Finger Paint with Annabelle.
Annabelle Goes to Prison.
Annabelle Comes Home. That's it.
Electro Annabelle.
That's the one I'm going to see. So bad. So boring.
Is it... this is one of the ones that's set in the Conjuring universe,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so Scary Dolls.
It took everything that was likable about those earlier films. Mm-hmm. I'm talking the main two characters.
Yeah, Patrick Wilson and Tessa Varmiga. No, the other Varmiga.
Yes, exactly. They're in it in the beginning, and then they fucking leave because... Their daughter's being babysat by a girl and her friend, and
here this doll's gonna babysit you.
Well, it plays out like any other jump scare movie.
Yeah,
but the problem is the jump scares don't come until the third mm-hmm. act, and even then they're not that good.
Yeah, I have to admit I haven't seen any of the Annabelle movies. I might have seen the first Conjuring.
Well, see, I like the Conjuring because everything was real subtle.
Yeah.
There's a creep factor involved, but it was kind of like they were trying to elevate it to being a little bit more intellectually stimulating. Mm-hmm. And that's what I liked about it. And then this one, they're just like throwing caution to the wind. And it's just one stupid possessed object after another doing some ridiculous thing.
Vera Farmiga.
Thank you.
Vera Farmiga and Patrick Wilson's characters are based on real life hucksters. And you can go somewhere into a museum and see the original Annabelle, the real Annabelle. All right. So next up for me is going to be, you know what? I'm going to go with a different one that I mentioned earlier. I'm going to go with number 270. It's called Desolation. Desolation. This is a movie I've been wanting to see for a while, and it's finally on Netflix. You can stream it on there. And it's about a single mother, her friend, and her son who are on a hiking/camping trip when they realize they are being followed by a mysterious figure. So it is, like you were saying, subtle. There's not very many over-the-top scenes. It's very much the kind of tension and suspense and dread that builds up when you first have the feeling that you're being pursued. And then you know you're being pursued, and then you know that you have to do something to survive. It was good. I liked it. But you should be careful when you're looking for this, because there's another movie that came out in 2018 called Desolation that's a completely different movie. It has nothing to do with this
at all. Okay.
That's my review of that. I gave it 2.5 stars, so right in the middle.
Right in the middle? Okay. Yeah. I watched Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
What?
This is the Guillermo del Toro produced film based on the, what did you call it? Young teen fiction?
Yeah, young adult.
Young adult fiction.
Young adult horror compilations from the early 90s.
I guess.
I think they're from the early 90s, late 80s. I remember reading them a lot when I was a kid.
This was after my time, I guess, but... You know, I knew about Goosebumps, which I think was kind of like the goofy version.
Well, not really. Each Goosebumps book is its own self-contained story.
Okay.
Whereas this is a collection of short stories, which is right up my, the street sign says, attention deficit alley. so it worked out well for me.
Well, my review was so classic, so clever. All ages horror is something to be celebrated and applauded. There's something for everyone.
Okay.
I really enjoyed the film. It had neat monsters in it. It had a very easy to follow story.
Yeah.
Very classic type horror arc throughout it. And yes, it was appropriate to, I mean, I know it's PG-13, but I think a 9-year-old could watch this and not be too freaked out.
Mm-hmm.
But an adult can watch this as well and get quite a bit out of it. I enjoyed it. And our frequent guest, Chelsea, apparently she had the book, and she's always raved to me about the illustrations. She said the illustrations in the book are the best part.
Super creepy.
Okay. So hopefully, I need to take a look at that and see how much of that carried across in the production design.
Uh-huh.
But as far as I'm concerned, I like this one a lot.
So I was mentioning before that also this year, a documentary about those books came out, and I'm looking at my IMDb.com watch list. That's IMDb.com. IMDb. And so it's called, I'm looking. Okay, it's just called Scary Stories, and it's a documentary, May 7th, 2019, an hour and 24 minutes. And
oh, so it's about the books themselves?
It's about the books themselves, okay. Yes. And the kind of cult following that they had.
Got it.
The appeal, the draw of those books.
Nice.
And it is on Amazon Prime if you want to rent it.
We got one more beer to open if we're done with our
movie
marathon. I brought this one back from Knoxville, Tennessee. This is from Mill Creek Brewing Company.
Mm-hmm.
I love the can. I thought it was kind of really minimalist, classy design. And this is their Landmark Vintage Lager.
Okay.
I don't know what makes a lager vintage.
Maybe it's, I don't know,
unless they're trying
older
to copy,
style
they're
lager.
Maybe they're trying to copy an older type
older
of
recipe.
Beer. I've had this. I'm going to let you try it, and okay. I want to see what your take is on this.
I like lagers. All right, so while we're looking at that, I did want to mention that I had one of those Today I Learned moments the other day when I stumbled across the factoid that the cousin in the original National Lampoon's Vacation, Cousin Eddie's daughter, the blonde cousin that they go visit on the rock farm.
I'm the best kisser in seventh grade.
Exactly.
Daddy told me so.
Turns out that was Jane Krakowski, who famously went on to many comedic roles in movies, TV shows, and commercials, but probably most notably 30 Rock.
Yeah, so, I was amused when you sent me that text today.
That it was yesterday.
Yesterday, okay, yeah.
But you knew that already?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. I believe I have one more, right? I've only done two.
Oh, then go.
Yeah, I did The Death of Dick Long and Desolation. And now I'm going to talk about number 268, The Art of Self-Defense.
Oh, yes. Okay, I want to see this.
I said it's kind of like if Fight Club were a comedy, like an actual comedy. Eisenberg's transformation from timid to tough is believable. And of course, Imogene Poots is a delight as always. So it's about this very ineffectual character who doesn't have a vehicle, so he walks to the market to get his groceries, his dog food, cat food, and he gets mugged on the way home one night.
Okay.
And so he wants to be stronger and able to defend himself. Like, they really, really do a number on him. He ends up in the hospital. And so at first he registers to buy a handgun, and then he discovers karate classes, and he starts taking karate classes, and it turns out to be like this very intense, very arbitrary program run by a not so reputable dude, and things kind of unravel from there. I don't want to give away the twist, but there is one, and I'm going to call it a recommend. I watched this with my lovely wife, Michelle, who took karate when she was younger, and so she appreciated that aspect of it.
Hey, what do you think about that beer, by the way?
I can tolerate it. It's a little bit flat in terms of carbonation.
I think it's sweet.
Okay, so sweet, like too malty sweet?
Saccharine sweet.
No, I don't really get that.
Okay.
With that, we're going to move it into the second part of our feature segment, which is a recast of what, Sean?
The Night of the Demons!
From 1988, directed by Kevin S. Tenney. He was an American film director, producer, and screenwriter, best known for directing horror movies such as Witchboard, as well as the aforementioned...
I'm not going to sing it again. Night of the Demons.
Night of the Demons. All right, so it's got a 40% on Rotten Tomatoes, and it's about a group of high school students who throw a party inside of an isolated funeral parlor. When they attempt a seance as a party game, they accidentally release a demon that was locked in the crematorium, which begins to possess them one by one. So, tire fire?
This is a stinkeroony tire fire.
Uh-huh.
But as we were saying off mic, it's got all the markings of a cult classic.
Right. They're just not very well done.
This movie's gotten several sequels.
Yeah.
There's a documentary.
Really?
There is a remake. So it's got wheels, but I thought it was terrible. It's like somebody took one of those joke and cut down and put down insult books that you had like when you were like 9 years old and went through it page by page, because these are like supposedly high school kids cutting each other down at every turn with insult after insult. And I was just like, this is stupid.
Once again, counterproductive. You're being possessed by demons. Call your dad.
This is even before the demons got involved.
True. All right, so the characters. First, we've got Judy Cassidy. She's your girl next door / high school sweetheart, right?
Yep.
She's played by Kathy Podwell, not Podwell.
Podwell.
I originally put Podwell in the notes.
She was 24.
I was just trying to encourage you to have a good broadcast.
She was a 24-year-old high schooler.
24 at the time. American actress best known for playing the role of Callie Harper Ewing on Dallas. She's playing Judy Cassidy. Then we've got the role of Angela Franklin, the goth queen, played by Amelia Kincaid, who was 25. She's an American actress, animal communicator, and self-proclaimed pet psychic. Then we've got Billy Gallo.
He was 22.
22, playing Sal Romero.
He was the youngster in the cast.
Yeah, 22, he's a youngster. And he's an actor and producer known for Pretty Woman. He was also in Crash. And he was also on Who's the Boss? Then finally, we've got the role of Suzanne, the slutty cheerleader / possession victim, played by Linnea Quigley. Who was 30.
30
years old at the time. American actress, film producer, model, singer, and author. She's best known as a B-movie actress and is often referred to as a scream queen due to her frequent appearances in low-budget horror films during the 1980s and 90s.
She was a model for what?
Bad Behavior.
Sandpaper? Because that's what her skin looked like.
A model citizen. And so let's go ahead and get into it. The first role... The role of Judy Cassidy. Who did you decide to recast in this, Sean?
Well, you're going to detect a theme pretty quickly.
Okay.
All right, so I wanted to go with that lovable high school girl next door, innocence and sweet. She was in Drive Me Crazy.
Hmm.
She was in Melissa and Joey. She was in Sabrina the Teenage Witch. And Clarissa Explains It All. I'm talking about 43-year-old Melissa Joan Hart.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. So I think I know where you're going, but I'm not going to say anything. I went more face value with my recasts, as I'm one to do. Want to do or one to do?
Want.
Want. Why wouldn't it be one to do?
Because
as I'm one to do that.
Because you want to do that.
As I'm want to do. It just sounds that's dramatically just, incorrect.
I'm sorry. That's just, those are the rules.
All right, well, my recast is 24 now. She's an American actress. Her breakthrough role came when she played Katara in the 2010 film The Last Airbender. From 2013 to 2015, she co-starred as Bradley Martin on the A&E series Bates Motel. Her name is Nicola Pels. Nicola Pels.
Nice.
Right there. All right.
Oh, so, it should be noted that the lead actress, her Halloween costume was being dressed as Alice.
Alice, yes.
Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, and so she really goes down a rabbit hole in this one. Next up, we've got Angela Franklin, played by Amelia Kincaid. My mother's maiden name is Kincaid.
Oh, really?
Yep. And Amelia Kincaid was 25 at the time. Who did you decide should play the goth queen, Angela Franklin?
Well, yeah, like you said, she's the goth queen. So I wanted somebody who kind of had some of those goth vibes at one point in her life.
She 57 was, year old.
Well, she was in Scream 3.
Okay.
She may have been in other Scream movies. I'm not sure. But she was also in Superman Returns.
Mm-hmm. The Brandon Routh version?
I think it may have been Routh. Yeah. And let's see. She was in Blade Trinity.
Mm.
She was in Dazed and Confused.
Oh, I got it.
It's Parker Posey.
No.
Parker Posey.
Damn it. I thought you were going with...
At a very young 51 years old.
Mila Jovovich.
No, 51-year-old Parker Posey.
Okay. Wow. I wasn't that far off. I actually saw a little bit of face value between this actress and Parker Posey, but I wasn't going to be ridiculous and cast a 52-year-old.
Why not? This movie was ridiculous.
My actress is 25. She's known for movies like The Perfect Date, The New Romantic, and Coyote Lake. And for playing Veronica Lodge on the CW teen television drama Riverdale, her name is Camila Mendez.
Camila Mendez. Oh, I can see that. Yeah,
totally. Camila Mendez.
Yeah.
She's Veronica on Riverdale.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next up, we've got Billy Gallo. That's his real name. He was playing Sal Romero.
Hey, Sal. Hey, everybody, look at me. I'm Sal.
Yeah,
that was essentially his role.
Yeah, he was a douchey kind of...
I'm douchey. He was too dumb to be greaser, douchey.
Kind of a greaser kid. Sort I don't of, mean that in any sort of like ethnic like derogatory
he,
way.
Like he had had a relationship with Judy before the film, and yeah, they make reference to it. But he's just this big dummy. Everybody, yeah, it's me, Sal. So there you go.
All right. So he was 22. And who did you pick for Sal Romero?
All right. This actor was in Oliver and Company.
The animated film Oliver and Company?
Yes, indeed.
With the cat?
He was in Brotherly Love.
Hmm.
He was also in Melissa and Joey. And he was in the TV show Blossom.
It's Joey.
I tell you, everybody, you better say, whoa, whoa, it's Joey Lawrence.
Whoa. All right, I'm actually really surprised he's still alive, so that's great. My actor, we're getting a little bit more, we're going to get a little bit more prim and proper with it.
Okay.
So he's going to be less like dumb and cut downy and more snarky.
Okay.
Because he is an English actor and model, best known for his role as Hardin Scott in the film After, and as the 11-year-old Tom Riddle, the young version of antagonist Lord Voldemort in the film Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. His name is Hero Fiennes Tiflin. Hero Fiennes Tiflin. Once again, a very solid face value.
Now, is he related to Ralph Fiennes at all?
I don't
all?
Think so.
Okay.
I looked at the IMDb or the Wikipedia, and mm-hmm, I didn't see any references to that. But I believe it's spelled the same way.
All right.
Next up, we've got the role of Suzanne. Suzanne probably steals the movie.
Oh, God, she's the best.
Yeah. She adds to the booby count. She goes nutso with that lipstick.
She was possessed by a demon, so mm-hmm, you can't blame her, but she does shove a lipstick into her nipple.
Mm-hmm. Somehow it gets like absorbed into there.
Yeah, but from the very beginning of the film, they present her as the sexy one.
Uh-huh. And she was 30 years old at the time.
But she wasn't sexy.
She could have been out of high school for...
She could have birthed a high schooler.
All right. So the role of Suzanne, originally played by Linnea Quigley. Who's your recast, Sean?
All right. So I wanted to go with somebody who's, you know, seen a few miles.
Okay. Rode hard, put away wet?
A little bit. And I think that this actress can do that role. She was in DOA, Dead or Alive.
I think it's Dead on Arrival.
No, Dead or Alive. She was in Not Another Teen Movie.
Mm-hmm.
She was in I Love You, Man.
Mm.
And she was in My Name is Earl.
Okay.
It's 42-year-old Jamie Presley.
Jamie Presley. Awesome, dude. Awesome. I thought you were going to go with Patty the Daytime Hooker. My Name is Earl.
No, I would never do that to her because Dale Dickey is one of my favorite people in the world.
Nice.
I did consider going with Daly, Dottie from Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Oh, good.
Elizabeth Daly.
Daly. Yes.
Yeah, I thought about her, but no, Jamie Presley's my pick.
All right. Well, my actress is 30 now, and she's another Brit. She's an English actress. She played Tammy in the post-apocalyptic science fiction horror film 28 Weeks Later. She also plays Linda Keith in the Jimi Hendrix biopic Jimmy All Is By My Side. She plays Debbie Raymond in the Paul Raymond biopic, The Look of Love, and Julia Madden on the American action movie Need for Speed. She was also recently in a film that I checked in on my movie marathon called The Art of Self-Defense. Her name is Imogen Poots. Imogen Poots, adding a layer of class to the character.
Totally.
Plus, I do want to see her do that with the lipstick.
Oh, no.
All right. So, is this a recommend or not, Sean?
It's not a recommend for me. Like I said, it's got some of the markings of a cult classic, but I don't think it's there.
Now, frequent guest Hillary and intermittent guest Marco both really like this movie, and
I've got to disagree with them.
They loud it.
I just don't see much redeeming quality in this. However, they do buck the trend, and spoilers, one of the survivors,
the black guy, yeah,
which I thought was cool.
Cool. All right, so with that, we're going to go ahead and wrap up the recast continued and go into our bonus segment, which is one I'm pretty excited about, Sean. It's going to be a battle royale between Linda Blair in The Exorcist, the Blair Witch, Blair from The Facts of Life, or Tony Blair.
Oh, God.
You got to go first.
Oh, no. I don't even get time to soak this in and think about it.
All right. So you've got Linda Blair. She plays Reagan in The Exorcist. Sure. And we're going full-on possessed Linda Blair.
Uh-huh.
Then we've got the Blair Witch of said project.
Yes.
Then we've got Blair from The Facts of Life. I don't remember her real name.
Oh, Lisa Welchel.
Lisa Welchel versus Tony Blair.
Oh, man. Okay.
Former Prime Minister of Great Britain. Geez.
All right, so I'm going to have to go with process of elimination. Tony Blair's right out.
Okay.
He'll do himself in accidentally.
Okay.
Reagan, of course, is a kid. She does have the power of the devil in her, or whatever demon possessed her. Oh, man. The Blair Witch, of course, is in the shadows. You don't see it coming until you know, it's too late. Oh, God, Blair from The Facts of Life, though, man. Entitled, wealthy, conniving, ruthless. Jeez, I go with Blair from Facts of Life.
All right.
I think she's got it. I think she is the true evil among these four.
Very good. All right, well, I'm going with Tony Blair, obviously.
Wow.
Because I love his music. And I think that he's probably one of the defining voices of the New Age genre. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show. We want to thank no one because there's no guest here and there's nothing for them to plug. We want to plug the podcast itself. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes or whatever podcatcher app it is that you're listening to us on. We are on Twitter. We're at Cinema Chop Shop. We are Cinema Chop Shop on Facebook, and our email address, which we check all the time, is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. And these couple of beers that we drank today, we're going to check those in on Untappd. That's UNTAPPD. And it's kind of like a social network for logging in beers. I want to thank the engineer, Possess Sean.
Yes.
The Sean-juring. Thank you for doing what you do, sir.
Thanks, man.
And do you know of anything that you'd like to plug?
There's still time to get your tickets to the beer dinner at Seminar Brewing.
That's on the 22nd.
It's a Tuesday night, and it's the Seven Deadly Sins beer dinner.
Okay. And also...
Oh, well, we'll plug Right Answers with Wrong Travis.
And
by the way, I've got to say, you were totally on your game Wednesday night.
Oh, nice.
Dude,
thanks, man. I appreciate it.
You were in command of the crowd. You had a few hecklers, and you swatted them down with the proficiency of a seasoned comedian.
I appreciate that. Well, I was trying to make up for the previous week where I was completely exhausted and doing everything I could to bring the energy. And so this time I just kind of went with it.
No, you were on top of your game, man.
Nice.
Good job.
I appreciate the props. What is next week's episode?
Oh, we're doing Backwoods Horror.
Backwoods Horror. All right, and as we like to do, as we're wont to do.
Thank you.
Here on the show, we'd like to give away a free sneak preview question and answer for the upcoming week's trivia. So this will come out on Sunday, and Wednesday will be our next edition of Right Answers with Wrong Travis. And this movie, once again, taking a little bit of liberty, a little bit of leeway. The screenplay for the film Deliverance and the novel it was based on were both written by a man who was also the 1966 United States Poet Laureate. Who was that writer?
Oh, shit. I may have known at one point, but I don't have a clue.
All right, well, I'll tell you this. He returned to academia in 1969 as a professor of English and the writer in residence at the University of South Carolina, a position he held for the remainder of his life. That is James Dickey.
Oh, okay.
James Dickey is the correct
answer. Never would have guessed it.
Yes. All right. And with that, we're going to say farewell to you, the listeners. Thank you for tuning in on your crucifixions.
No, tuning in with your Ouija boards.
Thank you for tuning in with your Ouija boards. And please remember to watch, chop, retrofit.
And get behind me, Satan.